Welcome to the inquiry session. There's the opportunity for you to inquire, to contemplate, to explore a Dharma theme, or in fact, a question that may have come to you about your life, or something that may have arisen listening to the talk this afternoon or from the instructions. Other possibilities are, of course, to endeavour to see into and tease the insights from a meditation experience. I would only ask that when you're here, you speak from your own experience, not something theoretical or hypothetical, but the exploration is of direct inquiry into the nature of meditation and this very life. That's a rather broad thing. And of course, the form allows you to leave if you wish, say thank you, and inquiry is ended. And it also allows me to do the same, to ring the bell, and then the inquiry is finished. The inquiry, of course, because the bell goes, doesn't stop. The reflection, the contemplation continues, sometimes for a very long time. In between, there'll be some quietness and, of course, the usual instruction about listening to your inner responses, your own reactivity, feeling if something within you is touched, and also noticing perhaps a critical voice that can come about what is being said, or an impatient voice if the inquiry happens to be rather long. As a listener, it takes lots of attention, and so I'm asking you to listen incredibly respectfully. The person who is speaking is often asking a question from any inner room. So sometimes what is being asked is what we would have asked if we'd thought of it, or what we wanted to ask but weren't quite brave enough to ask. So the questions are not just for the person at the front, but for all of us. Yes, anybody? Oh, I thought you were coming. You're just making yourself more comfortable. You can also report an experience. Say your name, please.
Yeah.
Ian. Yeah, yes.
Hi. So, the question is, I'll try to phrase it like this. When I meditate, many missions that I need to do come to my mind.
Missions in what way?
I need to speak with this person at work, things connected to home.
The list of jobs.
The list of jobs. The unending list. Now, when we are here, we have a few days. So, okay, I finished most of my list. I had a few times that, you know, I had really time without thinking about anything. It was wonderful.
Well, that is wonderful. I thought you were going to say you wrote an even longer list.
No, it's an unending list, but...
So please...
The question is, you know, in the samsara, not in the real life, okay? But in our real life. you have so many... I cannot see myself meditate without thinking about those lists. If you don't take, you know, a few days to finish them all and have the time to not think.
Okay, so please tell me what exactly happened today when you sat and you no longer had the memories of the lists, the to-do list, arising in consciousness. So please explain in detail, if you would please, the experience.
It happened a few times those few days. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I finished and then it stopped.
Yes,
no, it comes and goes.
Yes.
But at those moments that I don't have this, I can really hold the mind very focused on nothing.
Beautiful.
And, what you call maybe samadhi or something like this, like very, very, very strong. And I know that it's, you know, it's not going to be there forever. But there are moments that I manage to do it here because I'm, you know, we have so much time for it.
Beautiful. So, this is why we have meditation retreats.
Yeah.
So, here you are, the conditions are such that you're just sitting around all day. Don't actually have to do anything much. We have fabulous food supplied, a bed to sleep in. We just have to walk to the meditation hall when the bell rings. So there's nothing much we actually have to do. Maybe chop some veggies in the kitchen. So the pressure's taken off. The conditions are such that we can be really attentive to our inner life. And when we start to do that, what we see is that we don't have to be caught up necessarily or identified with the one who has so much to do. So when you say it was a samadhi, can you say a little more about what you actually felt and understood?
I felt that, first of all, I felt very strong. Very, very strong.
Yeah, the thighs. These are the thighs.
Yes,
yeah.
Very, very strong.
Yes.
And I felt that there is a place in my mind that I can put things in, take them out, clear it.
Yes.
Very focused. Very, very, very focused, and still something of me is there.
Yes.
Looking
okay.
at it, and
yes.
that's it's like a playground. You can do whatever you want there.
Okay. So you can think if you need to think, and not when you don't need to think.
Yes.
So when there's that kind of clarity, we actually call it the unification. And we can see thoughts arising, staying, and then ceasing. When thought ceases, when it stops, even for a few seconds, what do you know and understand? That's a very important point.
I know that in many ways, what you said here in one of the lessons that said, I think that the Buddha said that beyond everything there is some kind of island, that it's a...
The island of non-clinging.
Yes.
The island
so,
you cannot go
so
beyond.
I felt there is something there. You know, even if I don't do any of this missions and everything will fall down and whatever,
mm-hmm.
Okay, it's okay.
What's the feeling that goes with that something that you experienced?
What's the feeling?
Yeah.
It's a bliss when it comes. But always there is, you know, the but is coming.
Yes, and the but is what?
But, okay, I don't live in a monastery.
Yes.
Actually, I think it would be wonderful. Really. You said last night about Swan Mok, and
mm-hmm.
I've been to Swan Mok 20 years ago, and it was the best place of my life. And I felt that I want to stay here there forever. But, you know, I choose the different life.
Yes.
I don't understand how you can combine these two things.
Okay. So, you know that there is bliss. Could we say peace as well? So how does that inform your life? How does that shape your life? The knowing that there is a place in our inner life where we can actually just stop. And when we stop, we can experience extraordinary joy, extraordinary peace. How does that insight or that understanding shape your life now?
The knowing is there.
Yes.
And it helps a lot on my life.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We have all kinds of experience. Some of them are beautiful, some of them are painful. But when we have deep absorption, as they're called, or deep meditative experiences where we have even moments of peace, of bliss, of a profound knowing, we need to reflect on it, as I was saying this morning. And then take the insight from that experience. And so the insight is that you know peace. You know peace is possible. And so as you said, it affects your entire life. In fact, knowing that, your life is never the same again. If you truly know peace, the whole of your life, the whole of your actions, are informed by that knowing. So your relationships change. So in what ways, knowing peace, knowing that this exists in this life, in what way, you said it's affected your whole life, in what way has it shaped your life more specifically, can you say?
I think that there is a kind of a backbone or something like that. But, I know I can go there one day.
Yes. Yes. So you know that the foundation or backbone is there and you can always touch it. When would you need to? In your life?
Once in a few hours. If you're good, I do it once in a few hours.
Yes, beautiful. What stops you?
The unending list. The unending list of missions.
Yeah. Oh, the list.
Yeah.
Okay. Does peace rely on stillness?
Sorry?
Stillness.
Stillness? I'm not sure I understand. So.
Does our understanding and knowing of peace rely on us sitting still in meditation?
No.
Uh-huh. So we can have peace in movement.
To have this peace when so many things happen in life.
Yes, exactly. And that's why we have the retreat form, so that it's easier for us to access the peace.
Yes, I understand the retreat, I understand.
Yeah. But, yeah. Okay, so we have to shift from the retreat to life, don't we? So, the peace is not dependent upon stillness. Dependent upon silence. It's not dependent upon inactivity, is it?
It's not dependent on it.
No. Okay, so could you have peace while you do your list of jobs?
I wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
So, coming back to the experience of peace in the meditation, because that's when it happened, can that experience be divided?
Divided to?
Does, when we actually access that extraordinary bliss, does it feel as if it, is limitless in any way, or does it feel, or can it be divided?
Divided to?
Divided up.
Divided up, we should have both divided. I didn't know divided.
Chulak.
What, it's this or this?
Yeah.
Or I can combine them, that's what you mean?
Or is the sense of peace a totality?
The sense of peace is totality.
Yes. Okay.
It's an overview of the things.
Yes, exactly.
But
does not the totality?
But there is some kind of
include everything.
It's a huge being. I don't know, but it's not a being and doing. It's not a doing thing. It's a it's a feeling of the, as you said, the universe or something like that.
Hmm.
But. You need to send an email, make a phone call,
sure.
Do things in life.
And can you do that with freedom of heart and mind? Because this is our challenge, isn't it?
Yes.
Not just to know peace in the meditation hall.
Sure.
So it's to, you said before, actually, already, that this experience informs the whole of your life. It affects the whole of your life. When you have the list, what's the view that you have about the list? You have all of these things you need to do. What sort of view arises in your mind about it?
Just to try to finish it.
Yes! I have to try to finish it, which means what?
The most important out of it.
Yes. Prioritize, because?
Because the day is short and the list is long.
Yeah, exactly. And so it seems like there's too much to do.
There is too much
to do. So there's too much to do. So this is the view that stops you from experiencing the ease. Because in fact, when we're focused on the things to do, we do them much more efficiently and quickly and without problems. So the view, there's too much to do, is actually one of the things that stands in the way of ease doing it. Of the simplicity of just doing it. Okay. How many retreats do you do? A year.
I don't do it for you.
You don't do them every year. How long since you've done one?
12 years.
Okay. Do you think there'd be any benefit in touching into the silence more often than once every 12 years? Maybe.
There will be benefit out of it for sure. Not maybe.
Yes. Okay. So sometimes we don't actually do what we know we need to do, which is to remember, to touch into that which we understand really deep, and to let that shape our life and cut up. Do you have any other kind of insights and reflections on the retreat so far?
I've got many on my retreat.
Yes.
Many. Retreat from my wife to my 40th birthday, which happens next week.
Okay. Was there some reason she thought you needed it?
I spoke about it last year, but I really want to go to the retreat.
Okay. So the idea came from you?
The idea came from me, but the act was completely
Okay. Because she understands your love of meditation and the Dharma. You've been to what's one more? It's obviously important to you.
Yeah, and she felt that I'm overloaded from things. And I think that there is kind of accepting the story that I told to myself about myself, to bring space for new things.
Yes.
New things that I need to.
So to let go of some of the story of the past.
Yes.
In order to bring in the new. And the new is?
So other things, but the list is it's part of being organized.
Okay. If you were,
because the list is not existing in any place, it's only existing in my mind, so it's better that it will be existing in the real list.
I see. Better that it will be done than in your head. If you were to live true to your depth of experience, your understanding of peace, and that it's possible to access peace, how would that change your life when you go home? If you were to live true to the depth of that experience, that you know there is peace in this world, it often doesn't look like it, but there is.
In many ways, that's a question that I ask myself now.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, except from, ask for 1 hour a day to be with myself or something like this, but I cannot say that.
What sort of work do you do?
working in the Ministry of Education.
Okay. So, working with lots of people?
Lots of people.
And what would you like people to be educated about?
It's another thing that I'm dealing with here.
Yes?
Because
what's most important?
The Ministry of Education is completely the opposite place of the Buddha teaching. I came only 1.5 years ago now.
Yes?
And I came from alternative education.
Yes?
It was much more open to these kind of things, and everything is completely the opposite. The culture of this place that I'm working,
yes,
it's completely the opposite. It's only about clinging to things, and also education is most of the education is like this.
Yes,
like the grades that kids get and all this.
Yes.
Stupid things.
So how can you make a contribution in the world of education that's in accordance with your understanding of peace?
Without being kicking off.
Without being kicked out.
Sometimes I need to tell the minister now that there is something like a not Yehudi but Yehudi something with Buddha. I don't know if you have ideas. I don't know exactly. I really don't know why. The only thing that I can think of,
mm-hmm.
because it's completely different way, and
yes.
I cannot change the whole system. But there is one thing that I'm dealing with teachers. I'm in charge of the teachers,
yes.
And the only thing I can think about is that the teachers need more time to themselves.
Beautiful.
That's the only thing.
Yes, to retreat.
Huh?
Retreat for teachers.
Retreat for teachers.
Yes. Yeah. So in order for the teachers to be at peace for themselves or to have some kind of spaciousness of heart and mind, to be good teachers, they also need to have their, you know, life taken care of a bit. So that would be a wonderful thing, an innovative and brilliant thing to put in place if you are in a position to do it.
It's a big mission in the list.
I'm giving you a big mission. We didn't say that the mission would be small. The mission of peace is huge. Those who work for peace in all of its various forms, whether it's with children in schools or whether it's in the political world, those who work for peace know that the task is huge. And it's huge, but it's extraordinarily brilliant in terms of the possibility of living in a way that's true to your deepest understanding. So not forgetting your journey to what's landmark, not forgetting that you can access peace, and finding a way to make your understanding known to others. So finding a voice of peace for you, whether it's in the Ministry of Education or somewhere else. Really be the voice of peace. In all kinds of ways. Thank you for sharing your experience.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
I'm just sitting quietly. Yes, anybody? Yes, please come.
About identity.
Yes.
And we spoke a lot about non-clinging and the self. And my question is, sometimes in life you get the chance to start from the beginning. That's it. In a different culture or in a different world.
Yes.
And I got this opportunity 2 years ago. I moved to live abroad in Ireland and I moved alone. So no family, no friends. And at the beginning, everything is very foreign around, mm-hmm. and you keep referring to your own culture and religion, country, and then slowly, slowly, you start realizing that your home is shifting.
Yes.
And the first time I came back to Israel was almost 8 months after I moved, and I felt a bit foreign,
mm-hmm.
and not sure, am I coming back home, am I? When I come back to Ireland, am I coming back home? I couldn't tell where is my home. I felt very weird. And now, to almost 2 years after, I feel like it's the second long visit here in Israel.
Yes.
And I still feel like I'm not sure where is my home. And what should I take with me in terms of identity? Because
yes.
I can let go of, actually I can let go of everything in terms of my religion, and but I'm not sure I want. I feel like I need to draw a line somewhere. What am I keeping from my tradition and my my own country? And because I feel like for me to let go of it all and start clean, it's like something is missing.
Okay, it's a beautiful question. My question to you is, where is your true home?
Physical or not physical? I don't know.
I'm not really talking about which country you should live in. But where is your true home when you really reflect on that question? You thought it was here, you went there, you came back and you thought it was back there. Where is your true home?
I don't know how to tackle this question.
Okay.
I feel like I don't know.
So you
don't think, at least I think I don't know. I'm not sure. There's no obvious answer now.
So what in life is most important to you? I always ask the easy questions.
Exploring, I think. Say it's not one, there's a few, but I would say exploring, challenging myself in terms of getting, feel like I'm both outside and inside, going deeper.
Yes.
In my work, inside and outside.
Yes.
And peace.
Okay. Right.
Also connection.
Beautiful. So all of those things can be found here or there, can't they? So what's most important to you could be here or it could be there. Doesn't matter.
But there's also a lot of things here that keep me connected to.
Yes, of course. What's the benefit of here and the connection that you feel? What's the benefit of this culture?
family.
Yes.
Love to the family.
Yes.
Love to the country.
Yes.
And you know, there's a lot of problematic things here, but I miss it really strongly. Even very small things.
What do you love about it? I'm curious.
About this country?
Yes.
First of all, the food, which is the most amazing food. The sun.
Mm-hmm. She's been living in Ireland.
So the food, the sun, I said family. What more I love about this country? I think freedom in terms of this country is, although there is lots of problems, there is also lots of liberty. You know, at least in some cities, you can be whoever you want, you can dress however you like, it doesn't matter your gender, race, sexuality, like it's more accepting than other countries.
For some people.
For some people in some areas of the country.
Okay, so there are the benefits of being here. Benefits of being there?
Quiet. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty of the country. Easy life. The life is much easier and more convenient. And love as well.
And love takes what form there?
What do you mean? Love to a partner, not to
yes.
them.
Yes.
Not yet a family, love to a partner.
Yes, love to a partner. So your partner is there. Okay, so the question was about identity. And the I lands in all sorts of areas. But what you've really been talking about are more kind of values, really, aren't they? They're the values that you hold precious. They're the things that you love in this life. Your family, your lover, peace. Is there a way of being with all that without making it a conflict between here and there?
I think this is my question, basically. Because I feel like I need to choose so many things that used to be for granted. Even, for example, now I had a question, do I need to put mezuzah or not? Like, very simple questions that in Israel you don't deal with them because it's the obvious. And then when you live abroad, you have all these questions about very practical things that you're not sure I do need, I want to, I don't need if I, like, I'm not sure. So I feel like I'm in this phase of confusion of what is important for me and what is not.
Can you tell her what is mezuzah?
Mm-hmm. Mezuzah, it's like you put it on the door, and religious people usually kiss it every time they get into a room.
Mm-hmm.
And as a non-religious, you usually have it just because it's there, not because you think about it.
Okay.
So suddenly I was traveling in Jaffa with my boyfriend, and I saw mezuzah, and I'm like, maybe we need to buy mezuzah, I don't know. I don't need it. I'm just very confused about it.
So you're not sure what of your culture and identity you want to bring with you into your new life, and what do you want to leave behind? How would you make a decision about that? What would you base that on? Shall I bring something with me from my past to my new life, or should I leave it behind? What would wisdom tell you? When would it be wise to bring something with you, and when would it be wise to say, I don't need that anymore?
There's big things that I can't get rid of, and there are small things I can get rid of. That's it. So usually the big things come anyway. And then the small parts, it's just something I noticed that I'm starting to kind of losing it, even in terms of the connection with the country, like the news, reading less of what's going on. So it's just slowly I realize that the connection is getting looser. And
okay.
Then kind of...
Okay, this is a big question for you. It's a really important question. In truth, are you really Israeli? Am I really Australian?
I guess a coincidence. I don't know if it's a... I didn't choose it. I was born here, yes.
Exactly. So we're called a particular nationality dependent on conditions that we had nothing to do with. So in truth, am I really Australian? I'd say not. I'm just a human being. I happen to be born the bottom end of the earth down there, a long way from here. And so if we start to look like this, if we start to look in this way, the identification around nationality, race, gender, those things seem to dissolve a little. And when they dissolve a little, what do you see? You don't have to hold tightly to being Australian. I don't have to hold at all to being Australian. When those identifying factors start to dissolve, as they have with you, you're somewhere else, what does it show you? What is touched in you?
First of all, the change.
Yes.
It's like I'm changing a lot.
Yes. So the ordinary self that you previously identified with has been shaken up a bit.
Even not a bit.
More than a bit.
More than a bit.
This is a great thing. This is a good thing. Because then we don't just take for granted our identity and all the views and ideas that come with the place we happen to live. So, you're letting go of your identity that's concerned with here. When you start to do that, what happens? What's the movement in your heart that you're experiencing? You said an adventure. You were exploring.
Yes, at the beginning I was really... At the really beginning I was very sad, then I was really happy. And then now I'm happy, but I'm a bit sad as well. I feel like I'm losing something.
Okay. You're losing something that is of the past.
What do you mean? I'm not sure I understand.
When you're an island, you feel like you've lost something. Is that what you're saying?
It's not that I lost.
Ah.
I'm constantly losing something.
Ah,
it's not that I'm missing out, it's that something is missing.
Okay. Alright. So there's a sense of something missing. Have you ever had an experience in your life where there has not been anything missing?
Probably not. Oh, actually, yes, I did.
Ah! Yes, tell me.
I was, before the army service, I was with my father in India for a month.
Yes.
And we've been, at the end of the trip, we've been something like 2 weeks in Goa. And that was the time in my life I remember just that nothing is missing. It was just...
Oh, bless India. Bless India. So nothing was missing.
Yes.
Okay. So there you were, in India, in Goa, and there was this extraordinary feeling that absolutely nothing is missing, and yet you are in a totally different culture where nothing is really as you think it should be or might be.
Exploring.
Yes.
But I was also with my father, so I guess.
You had that sense of comfort?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, you know it's possible to just be with yourself and have that feeling of nothing missing. When you're not in the country you were born in, you've had it before, you know it.
For a short time.
Yes, yes. Short time is fine. So we take from that short time the understanding that we can feel at home. Did you feel at home in India?
I'm not sure, but I was just very happy. I don't know, at home, not at home.
So you, where was the happiness?
In the heart.
Could that be your true home?
Probably not.
No, I don't mean India, I mean the heart.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Enough. The true home goes with you. True home is in your heart. When you touch into your true home, there is nothing missing. We see that we are not actually bound to the country we were born in. We see that, in truth, we are not a particular nationality. When we touch deeply into our humanity, we touch that which is indivisible, not different between one person and another, one country and another. This is what we really need to see. Enjoy it. Enjoy the journey. Thank you. So just sitting quietly at the end. reflective on our practice and on our life, it's important to live in accordance with our deepest understanding. But sometimes when we touch in to peace, to a deep space that has the capacity to change and influence all of our actions, we need to remember it and live true to it. When we're deciding where to live, when we're reflecting on our identity, it's important that what we do is also in accordance with the truth that we know in our heart. And truly our home is actually where we are for most of us. And this feeling of being at home with nothing missing is incredibly precious. And in order to know it, we have to let go of all of the constructs with which we would normally identify ourselves. Where we were born, the nation, the state, the culture. It doesn't mean that we throw everything out. But it does mean we need to live true to love and true to peace. May it be so. Thank you to the two who inquired. And thank you to each of you for listening.